Welcome to AncestorsBackThen.com. During this series, we'll learn how our ancestors lived in the 20th century, early to mid-1900s. Their stories are fascinating. I think you'll enjoy it. Let's get started. Today, we're going to find out what life was like in Accomack, Virginia, located between Maryland and Norfolk, Virginia. We're talking to Al, and he's going to tell us what life was like for his family in the early 20th century. Let's talk about radio and TV. Did your family have a radio or TV in the house?
We had a radio. What was TV? We didn't have no TV back then. The thing you had was a radio, and you only got one station, WESR. It's the only station on the Eastern Shore.
When did they program, do you recall?
Country music.
One radio station?
One radio station.
No TV?
Not till 1974. Wow. I think it was when we got the first, you had the TV before that, I think in the late 60s, but mm-hmm. we weren't able to watch it because mm-hmm. there was no really TV station until they actually ran cable down there. That was back in about 1972, 73. Well, yeah, we had to pay to have the line run down there because they said it was outside of their normal realm. I think they charged us $50 a mile to run it down there. And then it was, I want to say, almost $100 to connect it to each house.
That was pretty expensive back then. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about how you guys put meat on the table.
Well, the chickens was the easiest one. You know, we had a yard full of chickens, so if it was chicken day, Grandma or Aunt Irene would come out and pick out a chicken, tell you, go out there and catch that chicken and wring his neck, snap the neck off. And, you know, I wasn't very good at it at first. I got pretty good at snapping necks.
Okay. And what else happened? What else did you do aside from chicken?
We slaughtered our own hogs and we had our own smokehouse. But Uncle Biggie always had the hog slaughtering around to his house, which was about a half a mile down the road.
Oh, yeah. Hog slaughtering? But you had a particular day you did this or something?
Well, you did it usually after the first frost in the fall, you know, somewhere around between Halloween and Thanksgiving, so that you slaughter the hog and cut him up, hang up all the meat for the winter so it would cure for the next spring, you know. And most of it was salt cured. Every now and then they would sugar cure ham or something like that, but most of the time the hams were salt cured, and we had our own grinder. We made our own sausage. We had all kinds, you know. The only part of the, you know, hog that I don't remember really ever doing a whole lot with was until I learned later on about the tongue, but everything, well, they used to say, we don't throw away nothing from the rooter to the tooter. So, you know, the pig feet, they'd pickle them. The brains, you know, Grandma used to make brains and eggs, which I wasn't real fond of because I knew where it came from.
But I was going to ask you, did you ever eat it and what does it taste
like?
It,
as far as tasted, you really couldn't tell a whole lot of difference like from corned beef hash, other than the fact that you knew that it was hog brains, and, you know, but yeah, they ground their own sausage, you know, the little tubes, you know, like you get sausage links now. We ground it and put it in the tubes ourselves and hung it in the smokehouse till we wanted it to eat.
So how did you slaughter the hogs?
Oh, well, you know, Uncle Biggie and Grandpa, they had a couple of different ways. Most of the time, you know, they collect the old tires all through the fall and to get the fire hot enough. And what they would do is catch the hog and hang him up on a tripod over the fire by his hind legs. And they'd either shoot him in the head or take an axe and just split his skull, whichever one was easiest for them that day.
Mm. This was normal practice.
Yeah. Mm. And yeah, that's what we did, you know. Once you crack the skull open, you know, that's what the fire was for, to burn all the blood and everything that run out of him before they gutted him.
Yeah. Let's move away from hog slaughtering and talk about indoor plumbing. How'd the family bathe?
In a wash tub. Mm-hmm. We didn't have no indoor plumbing. You had a pump outside that you had to prime every morning to get water, because if you let it set all day, it would lose its prime. So you always had to keep a bucket of water close by so that you could reprime the pump, because all it was a manual pump that you actually pumped by hand.
Okay.
And we brushed our teeth outdoors.
Outside?
Yeah, right there at the pump, so you could rinse your mouth out. And you wash, basically your morning wash, which was just your face and your hands, pretty much we washed outdoors.
Outside. Yeah. Okay.
We didn't have a bathroom. We had a room, but that was for when you took, at night when they boil the water and fill the tub up with water, you sit down in the wash tub, take a bath. But everybody used the same water.
So I heard. How often did the family take baths?
Every day.
Okay, daily baths?
Oh, yeah, it was every day.
Because I've heard some stories where the families only took a bath like once a week.
Oh, no.
So you did bathe daily.
Yeah, well, if you didn't work, you didn't really have to do nothing but just wash up. But most days, if you were in the field, you had to come home, you definitely had to take a bath.
So did you work on the farm?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We had to be in the field at sun up, and we were there until sundown. 5 days a week. If it rained, you knew you were going to be there on Saturday because you still had to get the crops out of the field.
So you were in charge. Your family wasn't enslaved at this time. You were just farming own family's land.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. You'd make about $2.75 a day, for all day work.
Who paid you?
My uncle, Uncle Rudy.
Okay, so it was his land. You were helping your uncle farm his land.
Well, it was the three brothers' land, my dad and both of his brothers.
So he paid you to farm the land. So that was like a 12-hour day.
Yeah, every day.
Even though you were young, you had to work 12 hours?
Oh, yeah. You didn't get to go home till everybody else went.
And what were the crops?
The biggest one was the white potatoes, which was our biggest cash crop. And we did grow some tomatoes. And the corn. Now, the corn wasn't really a whole lot, but the tomatoes, potatoes, and cucumbers. That was about what we raised mostly.
So who did your uncle sell the crop to?
They had what we called the Farmers Exchange there in Tasley. We'd truck it to the Farmers Exchange every day. Every day we'd load up and carry it to Farmers Exchange.
And that's where the goods were sold.
Well, that's where the broker actually bought it, and they ran all the machinery to process it, clean it, and box it up and get it ready for shipment.
Did it make your ancestors any money?
Well, as far as I know, I guess so. They never stopped until they got old.
Does your family still own the 100 acres?
No. My dad and his brothers started selling the land off about 1970, I think, is when they started selling it off. We had a lot of outsiders come in to teach school. We had, which actually became a neighborhood for us, because at one time it was the only house that was there was ours. And as the school teachers came to teach school, my uncle sold them a piece of land, an acre a lot, so they could put a house on it.
Okay, so that's good. They sold it to other, family members so that they could do good things.
They weren't really family. They weren't family members. It was just other black teachers. Mr. Carr, Mr. Dowdy, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, J.B., all of them built houses either on one side of my grandparents' house or the other.
Let's talk about church. Did the family go to church?
Oh, yeah. We had our own church, St. Luke's AME. And my uncle, my dad's oldest brother, was the preacher as I became a young man. He was a principal of our high school for 15 years, Marion Smith High School. Mm-hmm. Then he retired from teaching and went to preaching. And he preached for 22 years till they forced him to retire. And I didn't know that then under the ABM charter that at age 75 you had to retire whether you wanted to or not. But St. Luke Church was still there, Sunday, you had Sunday school, Sunday service, and Uncle Herman used to make ice cream every Sunday, homemade ice cream.
I'm assuming it was vanilla?
Every now and then he'd throw strawberry. I wasn't fond of the strawberry, but I'd always, the vanilla, he knew I was always going to try to be the first one in line.
What are some of the things you ate back then? What was on the table?
Everything.
Now, but what, for instance, what did your mom make?
My mom's favorite, it didn't make any difference what she made. It had oysters in it. Oyster stew, oyster casserole, oyster flitters. she even started putting oysters in the stuffing for turkey on Thanksgiving,
Mom was a big oyster fan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would eat clams, but I'm not fond of oysters.
Wonder why oysters, though. It was just something she liked.
You know, yeah, I mean, we used to go get our own oysters. You didn't have to buy them. We walked right down to the neck, down the neck, and get them out of the water ourselves. Load up a grass sack and the more oysters and clams, and come on back home and sit under the tree and open them up and eat them. Eat the clams and oysters. They would eat oysters. I couldn't do that.
Were you happy, as you recall?
Well, I guess as happy as you could be, you know. I mean, what I remember most was is just watching them work hard every day. You know, I mean, we weren't able to really go out and watch, you know. They did what they did, you know. They drank moonshine and whatever else they did.
Can you tell us any more about the moonshine? How did they get a hold of that?
Well, I guess they made it. There was always somebody making some.
Do you recall your family having electricity?
Oh, yeah. We had kerosene lamps for nights. Yeah, we had a little bit of electricity. We didn't start out with electricity. We had an old wood-burning cook stove. And when we finally got a washing machine, we got one of the old wash tubs that had the wringer on the back that you had to feed the clothes through. And we didn't have no dryer, so we had plenty of clothesline.
And so once your family washed the clothes and ran them through the wringer, that still wasn't dry enough?
No, they was just like, you know, spin drying. You still had to carry them outside and hang them on the line with clothespins.
No dryer?
Yeah, air dry.
Tell us how you made telephone calls back then, when there was a need to get in touch with someone.
Use a rotary phone, but you had a party line. You had to pick it up, make sure it wasn't nobody else on it, because each household on that road had a distinctive ring, whether it was one ring, two rings, two short rings, three long rings. It just depended on who it was, but you always had to get on there and say, make sure it wasn't anybody on there. Mm-hmm. If it was an emergency, you just have to say, hey, can you get off so I can make an emergency phone call? Or tell them to get off if you're waiting on a call from like a doctor or something like that. But the phone didn't ring that often.
Was there a police department?
The sheriff. There wasn't no police.
Mm-hmm. What about mail? Did your ancestors receive mail? Did you have a mailman?
You had to walk to the post office to get your mail.
Let's talk about the restroom for a while. I always find this a very interesting topic.
You know, we didn't have no restroom facilities. We had a slop jar. Everybody in the house used a slop jar at night. And the first one of us that was up in the morning had to carry it out and wrench it and pour it in the latrine and wrench it out and fill it and pour bleach in it and let it sit outdoors all day till the evening.
So you just used a slop jar in the hallway, wide open, if you had to go,
where you were, at the top of the stairs.
What about, you said you used the slop jar at night. What about during the day? How'd you use it?
Use the latrine, the outhouse. Okay. You went out to the outhouse.
Okay, how far away was the outhouse from the family's house?
50 feet, yeah.
Okay.
Out the back door and across the driveway.
So when you had to go, that's where you had to go?
Yeah.
How'd you clean yourself up?
Well, it depends. Newspaper, corn silk, whatever you had available at the time.
No Charmin, no quilted northern.
No what?
No soft, no. Cushiony.
You took your
tissue.
You took your newspaper or magazine pages and rubbed them together until you got it soft enough that you felt you could wipe your behind with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you use corn silk, that's the little yellow part that.
Of the corn, when you shuck the corn.
When you shuck from the shuckers from the corn, yeah. That's what you use. Yep.
What was the family's water source? How'd you have water for cooking, bathing, anything, drinking?
I guess they were old lard tins that they'd keep water in for cooking in the house, you know, with a dipper, you know. That's what you drank out of, too. You used the dipper to get the water out of the tin.
There was no glass? You drank out of the dipper?
Yeah, a lot of days you just drank out of the dipper. Glass. I mean, you had to have water to wash dishes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you had to use a tub. A basin. It was a dish basin.
Mm-hmm.
Metal, well, galvanized tub. A bucket. But, yeah, there was no running water. So.
Cooking then? How did you cook? Over a fire?
We had a cook stove. Well, it was originally we had a wood-burning stove in the kitchen that you cooked on, regular stove with an oven. You just had to keep wood in it, Well, then we did get a propane stove later on. I guess I was in my teens when we finally got that.
What about community activity? Was there any?
They would have a dance just about every week in the National Guard Armory, sponsored by Black community, which you had a lot of bands from out of town. You know, I got to see quite a few over the years. Clarence Carter, and I never got to see James Brownlee because he'd only came there once, and that was during a fair one year. But
well, that sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, because you know, I mean, if you were 14 and over, if your parents let you out, you'd be in there or standing at the doorway looking in,
trying to get in.
Well, the other option for me was that Mama Jeanette and Daddy Buster ran the Buster Reds, so most weekends, if I was down there, I would be serving beer from behind the counter. You want a Budweiser or a Slitz?
At Buster Reds.
Yeah.
Does it still exist? Is that building still
no,
there?
No, it got tore down. It got dilapidated after Daddy Buster died.
Oh, okay.
Cousin, she decided to tear the building down. The house is still there, but the Buster Reds, per se, is no longer there, just the land.
Mr. Al, thank you so much for sharing your story about Accomack, Virginia. We really do appreciate it, and we hope others appreciate it too.
Thank you for joining us. We'd love to hear your story. Send us an email to bj@ancestorsbackthen.com. That's bj@ancestorsbackthen.com, and we'll be in touch. We'll see you next time.
Don't forget to like us and subscribe.